comparatively speaking, compared to eternity, we don't have long to wait. Amen. We don't have much longer to serve the Lord and work in this old low, like you said, low and sinful state. Amen. I'm tired. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of fighting this flesh. I know that this flesh will be gone in heaven. Amen. And I'm looking forward to being able to just live my life, wake up and go. I don't think I'll be sleeping anyway, but go throughout the day. And by the way, there'll be no night there. I don't know how that's going to work. Amen. I just know there's going to be no night there, no darkness, because Jesus Christ is the light of that place. And so I'm looking forward to the fact that I can just live there in total, sinless, amen, peace. And never again worry about failing my Savior, sinning against Him, dishonoring my Lord. One day, amen, it's not going to be long. Just a little more long, just a little longer, amen. First Samuel chapter 17, please. 1 Samuel chapter 17, let me turn this. 1 Samuel 17. I'm going to read a few verses, if you would join me in standing one last time here as I read, beginning in verse 1, 1 Samuel 17, verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Shochoh, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Let's leave off reading there. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight for your help. I pray, Lord, that you would remove all distractions from our mind, our hearts, all distractions from this place. We plead the power, Lord God, of your resurrection, our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and his blood. Lord, I pray that he would be preeminent here in all things here tonight as we come to this most important part of the preaching of your word. I pray hearts would be open and tender. I pray, Lord God, ears would be open on purpose, that you would be glorified and help us here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you may be seated. We see here in these first three verses, the stage is being set for one of the most well-known battles in the Bible. That's David and Goliath. The Philistines, now the enemies of God, are gathered together to battle, the Bible says in verse 1. They're gathered together, their armies, for one thing, to battle. You understand? The enemies of God, folks, are not here to make friends with you. They're not here to be your buddy. They are here and they are gathered together and their armies are here to battle. I want you to remember, don't forget about that. Quit listening to their lies, amen. If they're not on God's side, they're against Him.
Right.
If they're not on, better yet, if they're not on Jesus' side, they're against Him.
Right.
And listen, if they're against Jesus, dearly beloved, they are against you if you're saved tonight. They're not here to love you and hug you. They would love to bring you over to their side, amen. But that's just another form of a battle. An army to battle is gathered together here in verse 1. And Saul, now, the Bible says in verse 2, and the men of Israel, God's people, amen, gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. So we've got the battle being, the stage is set, dearly beloved. We have the Philistines, the enemies of God. We have God's people, the people of Saul, the king of Israel. His armies are gathered together to battle against him. And what I see here tonight is the front lines of the battle. And that's what I want to preach to you tonight. That's what I want to preach to you about. The title of the message is this: Frontline Christianity. Frontline Christianity. God's Word tells us, listen to me, in 2 Timothy, I read it to you this morning, that all who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to be persecuted. All who live godly in Christ Jesus, can I say it to you this way, are going to find themselves on the front lines of the battle. When you decide, I'm going to live for Jesus, when you decide, I'm going to do what God says, when you decide, listen, I'm going to be a soul winner, you're putting yourself on the front line. When you decide, hey, I'm going to pray for God to do something in my family, you're putting yourself on the front line.
Right.
I'm going to pray for my church. I'm going to pray for my pastor. I'm going to pray for my wife, my husband, my children, my parents, my church. Listen, you're putting yourself on the front lines.
Right.
When you decide, hey, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to do my best to obey God. Like I preached this morning, Jochebed, who did what she was supposed to do, she obeyed God. It didn't matter what Pharaoh said. It didn't matter what the king of all Egypt said. I'm going to do, she said, what God wants me to do. And then you're putting yourself on the front lines. When you decide, when you have this Faith Promise Missions Conference coming up, amen, when you decide that I'm going to get involved in this thing of giving to missions, I'm going to get involved in this thing of being a part of supporting missionaries around the world, amen, preaching the gospel, starting churches, winning souls, you are putting yourself on the front line.
That's right.
Mothers, when you decide to raise your children for God, you're putting yourself on the front line. Hey, laymen, those of you who are preaching the gospel at work and doing your best to win co-workers to Christ, you're on the front line.
Right.
These are the people, listen, who daily are on the front lines of the battle. Can I say, these are the faithful people of this church. The frontliners, I'm going to call them tonight. Frontliners. I believe we have a church, amen, built and made up mostly the faithful of a few of frontline Christians.
Amen.
Frontline Christians. See, the front line of the battlefield, quickly, this is just some thoughts here, it's the most needed part of the battle.
Right.
Without the frontliners, there's no real opposition against the enemy. No one is taking it to them.
Right.
Nobody's in their face.
Right.
Without frontliners, without Christians who are living in their lives on the front line, the enemy is going to fortify itself. The enemy strengthens itself more and more daily because there's nobody there to oppose them.
Right.
Without frontliners, the enemy is going to infiltrate our territory. You understand? They're going to get behind our lines, and they're going to overcome our land. Wake up. Did you hear what I just said? Without frontliners, they're just going to take over the entire territory because there's nobody there holding the line. Holding the line. And what happens is when they get into the land, they get behind the lines, they get into our backyards, dearly beloved, amen. They take our supplies, they eliminate our wounded, and they drain our strength. The most needed area of Christianity, by the way, it's God's will that every one of His children live on the front lines. I said it's God's will, it's the Bible way, it's exactly what God wants from you and me and every other person who claims who is indeed born again. And of course, that's another message. A lot of people are claiming to be born again, but they have no idea what it means to be saved. But the most needed area in our Christian lives in the world today, whether it be America or any of these countries we look around, is for somebody to stand on the line and say, I'm going to hold this line for the glory of God.
Amen.
Frontline Christianity. It's the most needed Christians that we have. Listen to me. It's also the most dangerous area. This is where the battle is always raging. Always raging. This is where the enemy is most fortified. This is where the enemy is strongest. This is where you are listen, when you put yourself on that front line, you making yourself the biggest target.
Right.
You're making yourself a target. You are the first one in the line of fire.
Right.
You're the first one, amen. You're the one catching the bullets first. You're the one catching the fiery darts first. You're the one being hit, punched, beat first. You're the one that's right there first. It's the most dangerous, but it's the most necessary. And can I say to you, number three, just as just some introductory thoughts here, therefore, it's the most neglected. It's the most neglected. It's the place that where you don't find very many people anymore. The front line, can I say this? The front line separates the men from the boys, so to speak. The front line is the most neglected area of Christianity today. Children, teenagers are growing up and they have no intention of ever living on the front lines. They have no intentions of getting something done for God.
Preach it.
Young people today are more concerned about everything else other, and I'm talking about saved. I'm talking about saved people. You can't be on the front line of Christianity if you're not saved. You understand? I'm preaching to saved people tonight. People who know that they're born again, but they have no desire. They're not anywhere close to the front lines.
Oh, hey.
And they have no desire. They have no inkling. They have no understanding. They don't even think about it. It's not even in their minds. We need more frontline Christians in America, folks. We need more frontline Christians in America. Our churches are dying because people who are living on the front lines are dying. Brother Worship was saying something about a church out where he used to live in West Texas, somewhere out in the Calvary. Anyway, he said, Brother Falk, you ought to go preach for that church. And I said, they'd kick me out. And he said, no, not the old folks wouldn't kick you out. What does he mean? He means the old folks would appreciate it.
Amen.
But you know what? The young folks, the people who are growing up in this generation today, they don't appreciate it anymore. They don't appreciate good old-fashioned independent Bible preaching, amen. They don't appreciate somebody with a little bit of fire in their bosom, amen. A little bit of fire in their heart. A little bit of desire. A little bit of passion and conviction to do something for God. They don't appreciate it anymore. They just want to come to church, sit there, and go home. But listen, that's not frontline Christianity. We are dying in America because people will not get and stay on the front lines. It's the most neglected area in all of Christianity. I can still be saved and not be on the front line. But you understand something? I'm never going to be comfortable. That's another message. But the problem is most times we just lose focus of how desperately necessary it is to stay on the front lines.
Yes, sir.
The front lines of Christianity. Frontliners are very few and far between.
Yeah.
Frontliners are very few and far between. We need more of God's people who are willing to live their lives on the front lines of this spiritual warfare.
Amen.
We need more of God's people. We need more frontline mothers,
amen,
like Jochebed. We need more frontline fathers, amen, like Jochebed's husband. We need more frontline church members. We need more frontline churches. We need more frontline preachers. We need more frontline fathers, mothers, children. We need more frontline Christianity. We're hurting. We're lagging behind. The enemy is overtaking our land because there's nobody standing on the front line to fight them, to oppose, to make it, at least make it difficult for them to get in our backyards.
Amen.
The front line is where the battle starts. The front line is where it should start anyway. The front line is where it's going to start if it's going to make a difference. Amen. But it's the most neglected area in Christianity. Frontline Christianity. Number one, why is it so neglected, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Number one, the front line is a valley.
Yeah.
Look in verse 3. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. Look in verse 19 of the same chapter. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. Now, let me say something to you. The valley was the dividing line between good and evil. The valley, the front line, it was a valley. Can I say to you? It often is.
Yeah.
A valley in the Bible is a picture of trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
A valley in the Bible is a picture of testing. Testing. You know where Delilah lived? Delilah lived down in the valley of Sorek. You know who Delilah was, don't you? She was Samson's greatest test that he failed miserably. Chris, you don't need to fail those finals you have this week, amen? Those are just tests, amen? Those tests, though, are a picture of what God does. What a test does is it proves, amen, how prepared are you? How prepared are you? Amen? It also tests how much do you really know? Amen. And it says this, it tests your desire, amen, to make it past that test.
Amen.
A valley is a test in the Bible. A valley is a trial. And you understand something? In this frontline Christianity I'm talking about tonight, the valley is the front line. This valley had a name in verse 19, the Valley of Elah. And that word Elah means oak. An oak tree. Y'all know what an oak tree? I have a big, huge, living oak tree, live oak tree in my front yard. It's a monster. Monster thing. An oak tree is a big tree. It's a very big tree. It's a very strong tree. Amen. That's what this valley, Elah, means oak tree. It means strength. That's what that word means. The strength of an oak tree. In the Bible, it's a good picture for you and me to understand. This valley is a place that requires great strength.
That's right. Yep. Amen. That's right.
Strength. You understand, strength comes from God.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
Amen.
But see, you don't know how much strength you have until you find yourself in the Valley of Elah on the front lines. It's a test to see where you're at, just like Brother Chris's test in this coming week, his finals. It's a test to find out, okay, how strong, how prepared are you?
Yeah.
And see, what we have today is we have a large amount of born-again Christians who have been saved, amen, but they are so far from the front lines because it takes real godly strength that only comes from Christ, that requires that I walk with Christ, that I believe Christ, that I live by faith. But see, that Valley of Elah is a strength, it's a measure of my strength. See, it's the place where the enemies of God also appear to be the strongest. Can I say something to you? They're never stronger than God. But when you're in a valley like this, and you're being tested, it seems like those enemies are really going to win. When you're down in the valley and God's doing something in your heart, and God's trying to strengthen you, and He's testing your faith, testing and proving your heart, and you see, it's a matter of you having His strength, but it's also a matter of you understanding they're not really as strong as they look.
Amen.
If I'm down in the valley and the Philistines are up here, amen, they're coming down off that mountain and they're coming down toward the valley, amen, they seem awfully large. They're very powerful. And see, in that valley, I've got a decision to make. I've got to trust God or run. Frontline Christianity, folks, listen to me. Frontline Christianity is the fiery trials of God in your life. The fiery trials of God in the valley. The valley is a place where God is not only trying your faith and teaching you, hey, those enemies are not as big as they look, but He's also trying to grow your strength,
amen,
grow your faith. But it's a valley. It's not a mountaintop. It's a valley. The front line is not a mountaintop, it's a valley. And that's a valley of strength where you're tested. Where God is going to prove to you, hey, He's the only strength that you really have. If you don't let Him be your strength, you will fall. If you don't let Him be your strength, you will fail. And that's where we're at today, right? Most folks are trying to do all of this in their own strength. Walking by sight, walking according to their flesh, walking according to their feelings, their emotions, whatever they think, whatever they, you know, their philosophies, their ideas. Amen. And so when they get down in that valley, they're beaten up to a pulp. And so if they survive, amen, they never go back there again. Because the front line is a valley. It's neglected. I'm telling you, that. Why is this neglected? Because it's a valley. But it's a valley where God, listen, where God is going to strengthen you and teach you to trust Him and teach you that, hey, that He is bigger than the enemy. But you don't know that until you get down that valley. Why is the front line so neglected? Because it's a valley, for one thing. Number two, there in that valley, the foe is more audible and visible. The foe, the enemy, is more audible and visible. Look in verse 4. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now that 6 cubits and a span means he was over 9 foot tall. Okay? In that valley, When you're right up next close, see, you that enemy is magnified.
Right.
He was 6 cubits in a span, 9 foot tall. Samuel, come here a minute. Karina, wake up, sweetie. Come here a minute. Let me use you for a second. Okay, come here. Now, you stand here, and you stand here. Now, you all face each other. Okay? Okay. Now, you see, a little bit closer. Don't get, there you go, there you go. Now, look. Wow. You have to look. Now, go to that wall, and you go to that wall. Now, face each other. You don't have to look up anymore, do you? Just, there he is.
Right.
Now, do you see what I'm saying? Down, y'all can have a seat. Thank you. Down here, when they're right in the battle on the front lines, it's like.
Yeah. Amen. Right. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
But when she moved over here, it's like, that's just Samuel. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
On the front lines, the foe. Now, Samuel, she could even. Well, anyway. She could see him. He was very up close and personal. You understand?
Right.
He could whisper and she could hear him. Over here, however, you know, he's going to have to speak up before she can even hear him.
Right. Yeah.
See, on the front line, folks, listen to me. The foe, the enemy, is more audible and visible. The opposition is magnified, is what I'm trying to say. Look in verse 5. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. He had greaves of brass upon his legs, a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His spearhead weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. Now understand something. He was heavily armored. And when you're down there, can you imagine standing right up next to that guy?
Right.
It would be just like Karina. You understand? See, now, not only is he more visible, but look here. Look in verse 11. Verse 11. And when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Not only was he more visible, but they could hear every single thing he was saying.
Right.
He didn't even have to raise his voice. It was right there.
Right.
You see, when you're on the front lines, you understand what I'm saying tonight, right? This is why the front lines are so neglected. Because you're in a valley. Not only that, but the enemy is very up close and personal. You can hear everything he says. You can see everything he has on in detail.
Right. Oh, great.
Now, hey, listen, I'm telling you one thing. That's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty sight what they saw. And the look in verse 9, it says, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall you be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. They heard every word. They saw his armor. They saw his battle scars. They heard every word. And then look in verse 23 of the same chapter. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. They saw him, they heard him. 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 Listen, you know why? Because they were on the front lines.
Right.
That was not a pleasant sight.
Great.
Was it, Karina? It wasn't a pleasant sight. Those were not pleasant words. He was defying the armies of Israel.
Yeah.
He was slandering and cursing the God of heaven.
Right.
And they're right up close. They can feel his breath on their face almost. They can smell his breath. You know, and they're right there. They're in a valley. Their strength is being tested.
Right.
The enemy is right in their face. Yeah. They can see everything he has on. They can hear every word he's saying, and it's a brutal place.
Oh.
Now you're starting to see the picture.
Amen.
The valley is the front line is a valley. That's why it's so neglected. The front line, listen to me, is where the foe is more audible and visible. You see, if they would have just left completely out of his presence, God just ran home, they would not have heard anything.
Right.
They would not have seen anything.
Yep.
But folks, I'm just gonna let that sink in for a minute. That's usually where God's people spend the vast majority of their time.
Right.
Away from the battle.
Yeah.
Away from the front line.
Right.
Hey, listen, I just stood here and preached about a mother having faith and raising her child according to God's word and having God provide and protect and empower. I just stood here, right here in this spot, preaching to mothers, young mothers with young children this very morning. Where are they at now? As far away from the front line as they could be.
Oh, great. Yeah, that's right.
They didn't listen to a single word I said.
Amen, brother.
That's right.
That's where they're at.
Preach.
Now, I'm not saying anything against them, except that they're the majority.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
For these reasons. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yep.
For these very reasons is what I'm saying. Because the enemy is right there in your face on the front line.
Right.
The front line is a valley where God is strengthening you, testing your faith,
yep,
trying you.
Boom.
The front line, also number three, is where the fight is more violent.
Right.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
The fight is a lot more violent on the front line. Look in verse 16. The Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Morning and evening. The giant Goliath, listen to me, on the front line, he was there daily, not just once a day.
Right.
Morning and evening. Always in their faces, always taunting them, always running his big mouth, always towering over them.
Yep.
Not just once a day, not just once a week, twice a day for 40 days, dearly beloved. Think about that. Okay, that's a week. That's another week. That's another week. That's another week. And then another week. It's over 5 weeks, give or take, depending on the month. Depending on, it's 40 days.
Right.
It's a month and 10 days or so. Understand something. Morning, there he is. Evening, there he is again. Morning, there he is. Evening, there he is again. It didn't just happen on Sunday.
Right.
It didn't just happen on Sunday and Wednesday and then, you know, occasional Sunday night or soul winning. It was every single, you understand something? This is a life I'm talking about. This is living a life on the front line. When you decide I'm going to pray, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to be faithful to study and read His Word, I'm going to walk with Him, I'm going to trust Him, I'm going to win souls, I'm going to preach the gospel. Listen, it's not just a Sunday morning thing. It's a daily showing up in your face. The enemy is there. And the fight is way more violent because it never goes away.
Oh, that's right.
Nobody is inspired right now to live on the front lines. I understand. But listen to me. This is why it's neglected. Look in verse 41. Verse 41. Same chapter. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto him, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves, with a staff, a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beast of the field. Wow. What great swelling words of pride, anger, arrogance. You understand something? David had to hear that because he was on the front line.
Right.
I mean, he. Notice what it says here. The Bible says in verse 43, the Philistine, at the end of that verse, cursed who? Cursed David. Okay, now it's personal.
Yeah, right. Yep.
You see, even though We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, amen, and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't wrestle against people. But they, I tell you one thing. They wrestle against you.
Great.
Yeah.
They take it out against you. Their battle, listen, the Philistines' battle was not against God. This time he's cursing David. He's cursing David personally. David would have never heard that. That would have never had happened if he would not have been on the front line. See, the fight is more, a lot more violent, a lot more personal, a lot more real when you're down on the front lines. Hey, man, it becomes a personal battle. You understand, they are attacking you. Because why? Because you are on the front lines and you are opposing them. You got to be aware of this, folks. Frontliners are few and far between. Because, I'm telling you why. Because the fight is much more violent. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 says this, "Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Why would he? Why would Paul say that to those Galatians? Because they were doing right. They were on the front line. But he said, don't be weary in well-doing. Amen. How can you get weary in well-doing? Because listen to me, people are taking it out on you. The enemies of God do not like it when you oppose them.
Amen.
When you stand on the front line, you are like the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, you better have on your armor, amen? But you're standing against the wiles of the devil. You're standing against him. You're standing, yes, you're standing for Jesus, but when you stand for Jesus, you cannot help but stand against them.
Right, yeah, that's right.
And on the front line, it's a valley where your strength is tested. On the front line, the foe, the enemy, is more audible and visible. On the front line, the fight is a lot more violent. It's personal. And listen, it's okay. It's one thing when somebody, you know, beats up on somebody else that you don't even know. But then when they bring it to your house, your family,
amen,
your wife, your husband,
amen,
your parents, your children, you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Then that only happens when you're on the front line.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Nobody bugs you when you're back here doing minding your own business.
Yes.
Have you noticed that? And I want to say another reason the front line is so neglected is because even your friends, quote unquote, and your family become vicious.
Yeah.
Look in verse 13. Verse 13, "The three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, and next unto him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul." Now jump over to verse 28. "And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against" who? "His brother. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few little sheep in the wilderness?" He says, "I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." And David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Look, he says, "And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner." Everybody's saying the same thing. His own brother, though, the Bible says, accused him, listen now, of being prideful.
Yeah, that's good.
Now, let's stop right here. Let's park it right here for a minute.
Yeah.
The one who's cowering down in fear, doing nothing for God at all, is accusing the one on the front line of being prideful. Isn't that backwards? When I read that verse and I read Eliab's words, and you can kind of sense his spirit from his words, who would you say is full of pride? Not David, but his brother.
Right.
Eliab's not on the front line. He's hiding in fear. Remember, the Bible says every time Goliath showed up, they feared greatly and trembled and they ran and hid.
Right.
But now David's showing up and he said, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is he that he continues to curse and defy the armies of the living God? And he shows up and says, hey, is there not a cause? We've got to do something here. And Eliab says, what's wrong with you? What about your little sheep? Go back to your little sheep. In other words, you're worthless. You don't have anything worth bringing here. Go back to your little sheep, your worthless little life. Why are you so full of pride? Listen to me. That was his oldest brother. That was the one that should have been saying, David, man, you are right. Man, I'm wrong. Help me, God. Let's go. I'm with you. Let's go take. No, instead, you full of pride, little arrogant little brat, go back to your little sheep. All of this? Why? Because he was on the front line.
That's right.
And Eliab did not like it.
Right.
Eliab said, you're full of pride. You're full of yourself, David. Go back to your little sheep. What are you doing here? He said, I know the naughtiness of your heart. What? I know the pride and the naughtiness of thine heart. Boy, he's speaking for himself, I believe. See, his own family, listen to me now, his own family had just as much opportunity to battle on the front lines as he did.
Right, that's right.
But instead, they mocked him and they ridiculed him when he said, I'm going to do something about this. I don't know if you're catching this tonight, if you're getting a hold of this, but you need to understand something. When you put yourself on the front lines, these things are going to happen. When you say, listen, when you say David came down there, and those, see, the armies of Saul were backing up every time Goliath showed up. And David said, no, we can't back up. We've got to go forward.
Amen.
We've got to do something. We've got to stay on the front lines.
Amen.
Not only did they not enjoy what he was saying, but they tried to talk him out of it.
Right.
They called him names. And now Goliath is not the only one insulting him. His own family is insulting him.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you would think at least, right?
Yeah.
His own people,
right.
His own family, his brethren would say, good job, David, you're right. You have inspired me. You have motivated me. But that's not the way it works when you start preaching the gospel.
No.
That's not the way it works when you start fighting sin. That's not the way it works when you start fighting Goliath. That's not the way it works when you decide to stand up and say, you know what? Right is right. Wrong is wrong. Sin is condemned. Hell is hot. And heaven is the only hope. Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
You would think the brethren would say, praise God.
Amen.
Finally, somebody with some backbone and said, no, you're full of pride. You're worthless. Go back to your little nothing life.
That was crazy. Oh, crazy.
Amen, brother.
I think maybe you understand what I'm saying.
Amen.
Who do you think you are, David? Go back to your worthless life. We'll take care of this. Yeah, I can tell. See, this, listen dearly beloved, this is why the front lines are neglected. This is why we have so few people left on the front lines. This is why so few people stay on the front lines. The foe is very much audible and visible here. He's bigger. Amen, because he's right in my face. This is a valley of where God is testing me, trying my faith. It's not fun. It's a battle. The family becomes vicious. People that I thought loved me, people that I thought would be thankful that I'm doing something for God, people that should be thankful that I'm doing something for God, are attacking me, calling me the Pharisee. They called him full of pride. They said he was full of pride. Why? Because he said, I'm going to do something about this. Somebody's got to stand up and fight. Yes, they're neglected for those very reasons. But can I tell you, it never matters what it seems like at the beginning. On the front line, listen to me, is the only place where the giant will fall.
Right.
On the front line is where the giant will fall.
That's right.
Verse 48, let's read it. It came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted. Folks, don't slow down, amen. Hasted. It ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and sling it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran. He's still running. He's hasting. He's running. Amen. There's something going on in his heart. And he stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof, slew him, cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled.
Yeah.
Folks, the giant would have never fallen were it not for David on the front lines.
Yeah. Right.
He was, as far as I can tell, he's the only one out there.
Yeah.
Right? We've got to remember, we've got to keep it close in our hearts, that in order to defeat the giant, we have to get close to the giant.
Right.
We have to experience that valley. We have to overcome the friends and the family taunting us. We have to face the heat of the daily morning and evening battle.
Yeah.
Only on the front lines of the battle will we see that giant fall. David, listen to me, David did not live a sinless life, I know. He was not a perfect man after this, but I guarantee you never forgot that.
Amen.
Look at verse 57. Verse 57, as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, notice, with the head of the Philistine in his hand.
Yeah.
He didn't let all of those other things stop him. He didn't let all of the trial of his faith. He didn't let the foe's words and his visible stature. He didn't let the violent morning and evening. He didn't let his friends and his family, his brothers, and their vicious words. He didn't let any of that stop him. Listen to me. There's a lot more room at the front lines for more soldiers in this Christian life.
Amen.
Can I say to you, years ago, there used to be a lot more people on those front lines.
Amen, brother. That's right.
The older generation, Brother Worcester's talking about, they can't necessarily do it physically anymore, amen, but they still appreciate somebody who's taking it to the enemy, who's taking it to taking the battle to the Philistines. But we have to understand something. We all of us have got to gather together and keep doing what we're doing. This is a church, amen. Don't worry about the size of the church. Remember, David was one man, but he was on the front lines, and he stayed on the front lines, and he didn't let what other people said bother him. He didn't let the sight of the enemy bother him. He didn't let the sound of the words bother him. He didn't let everybody else's opinions bother him. He said, there's an enemy out here, and whether I live or die, I'm going to fight him.
Amen.
That's right.
He didn't die. He lived. He lived to fight another battle. He carried around that Philistine's head for some reason. There's a trophy, amen. He picked that man probably had nasty long hair, you know, probably full of head lice and all kinds of gross. Ugh. He probably turned that head around like this and said, "Ha, I got you." What are you going to say now? He was awfully silent after that, wasn't he? His mouth was shut. I'm telling you, folks, the enemy is pitched. The enemy is gathered together. Look what it says again in verse 1. The Philistines gathered together their armies to battle. Why is it that there's so many more of them on the front lines than there are us? The enemy's there. The enemy's gathered together against God's people. There's many of them. We're the frontliners. Folks, we have to stay on the front lines. We have to keep preaching the gospel. We have to keep handing out tracts. We have to keep praying. We have to keep giving the missions. We have to keep going. We have to keep trusting God and doing what He says. And listen, don't be surprised when they run their mouths. Remember, the reason they're doing it is because you're on the front line. People that you would never expect it to come from. It's because you're on the front line. Oh, you expect it from the enemy, and you'll get it from the enemy. But that's one thing, isn't it?
Right.
It's, you expect it from them. But when you get it from your own crowd,
right,
your own brethren, that doesn't change anything. It's either right or it's wrong. And no matter what anybody else thinks, amen, when you do the will of God and you fight on the front line against the enemies of God, amen, you're right. You're okay. You're in the will of God. Yep. Trust God. Do what He says, amen. The giant will fall.
Amen. Amen.
I think maybe so few giants are falling anymore today because so few people are on the front lines. Dearly beloved, I don't know what you're going through. Mothers, I know it's Mother's Day, not much of a Mother's Day message. But listen, when you try to raise your kids according to the Word of God, you are on the front line.
That's right.
That's right.
You are under fire every day.
Yep.
Don't worry about it.
Amen.
Don't worry about it.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Know that you're in the right place.
Yeah.
Know that you're doing the right thing. Know that somebody's got to stay there and fight that giant.
Amen.
God help us. As Americans, listen, we're a dying nation.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Why? Because they are in our backyards.
Yep.
They are all over us because nobody's holding the line anymore.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, help us tonight, Lord. I pray and encourage your people. These sitting before me, Lord, are the faithful. The givers, the soul winners, the prayer warriors, those who walk with you, those who trust you, faithful to your house. Lord, I just want to encourage them tonight to stay on the front line, to trust you, to learn to let your strength be their strength, to learn to